little tidbit out of the news. Did you know that divorce takes a toll on long-term health? Results from a new study to be published in September issue of Journal of Health and Social Behavior show that divorce or losing a spouse to death can exact an immediate and a long-lasting toll on a person's health even after remarriage. That period during the time that this event is taking place is extremely stressful, said one of the researchers, Linda Waite, of the University of Chicago. People ignore their health, they're stressed, which is in itself, of course, is a health risk, and they're less likely to go to the doctor, they're less likely to exercise, they sleep poorly. I know a couple of folks here that are under some stress that know what that's like, and it's not even about divorce. It turns out, once you have tarnished your health, it's hard to snap back, even if you tie the knot again. Remarriage helps, they said. It puts you back on a healthy trajectory, but it puts you back on a healthy trajectory from a lower point because you didn't take care of yourself for a year or so. A couple of the researchers collected the data from 9,000 adults, 51 to 61, who had taken part in a nationally representative health and retirement study. The results of the study showed that those who were divorced or widowed suffered from 20% more chronic health conditions. That's a lot. I mean, 20% is one in five, such as heart disease, diabetes, or cancer, compared with individuals who were currently married. Additionally, individuals who were remarried reported an average of 12% more chronic conditions and 19% more physical limitations compared with the continuously married. While some health situations like depression seem to respond more quickly and strongly to changes in current conditions, conditions such as diabetes and heart disease develop slowly over a substantial period and show the impact of past experiences, which is why health is undermined by divorce or widowhood even when a person remarries. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I got to wondering about the current trend in our society for folks to live together. And sometimes, by the time somebody is 30, they have lived with four or five people. It's sort of like getting married and divorced four or five times. And so that for sure isn't healthy. I also wondered about folks that suffer from abandonment. You know, they were abandoned by their mother or their parents gave them up for adoption or something like that. They don't know who their parents are. And I wonder if that also affects them, that they have these same kind of health-related issues. Don't know. I was surprised it included diabetes, heart trouble, cancer. More likely to have cancer. Well, it just kind of goes back to this concept that God's plan for how we're to live life is really based around what's best for us. Not just psychologically, but even physically. You know, get married and stay that way is the plan. So. And when your spouse gets sick, pray for them to get well. Well, I want to continue this morning with our exploration of a special type of sowing and reaping, a special type of giving and receiving. And it's the idea that if we want to be able to minister to others, to serve others, we want to be able to be anointed by the presence of God, be anointed by the Holy Spirit of God to do miracles. If we want to give out of the good things that God has placed in us, we're going to have to first let God place some good stuff inside us. It's the idea that you can't give away the store if you don't have a store. It's the idea that you can't drive your car, burn gas to drive your car if you first haven't put gas in your car. And so we're talking about we've got to take in prayer. We've got to get in the presence of God. We have to be filled up with the Holy Spirit so that He can come into us and we take in this presence and power of God. And then later, as the needs arrive, we'll be available to pray. We'll be available to minister, serve, whatever we need to do. In other words, we can give out. So you got to take in before you can give out. And the title of the sermon is Fill Her Up, because it's like you go to the gas station and, God, I need you to fill me up. You know, some ways we do that is we come right here to church and get filled up. The music, the worship in song is a great way
to just soak in the presence of God and let the presence of God fill you up. And then we get to listen to different people read different scriptures. And you just soak in the Word of God and let that go down deep on the inside of you. And the sermon, which hopefully will be enlightening or helpful, you know, that would is a way of taking in. And then we get to give out in the Eucharist portion of the service, where we bring in our offerings and we receive the offering of God and we recreate the Last Supper and receive the body and blood of Jesus. But in the middle of all that, we also spend time in prayer, praying for each other and praying for specific prayer requests. And that's a great time of giving out. Well, we got to take in before we can give out. So let's continue on looking at this concept of taking in and then giving out from a spiritual perspective. I saw a survey of pastors and parachurch leaders. You know what parachurch means? It means an organization that's like a church or is part of a church. So a shelter, a homeless shelter, a food program, the Exodus program, which is a program that helps people come out of the homosexual lifestyle. Those are called parachurch organizations. Grace House Rehab Center is a perfect example of a parachurch organization. So the leaders of the parachurch organizations, pastors, they poll these guys, how much do you spend on an average in prayer each day? I think I've given this before. Anybody remember what the statistic is? Anybody have a guess? Great pastors, great leaders of Christian organizations, 15 minutes is the average. Now, I spend about an hour a day in prayer. I try to average more than that, but I probably average about an hour a day. If I'm doing an hour, and I know a lot of other people are too, an hour or two, what does that leave for some of the other folks? 3 minutes? 5 minutes? Have you ever said this to yourself? And I'll confess that I'll be looking at my day, you know, and I'm thinking, man, my hair's already on fire. I got to get out and start running and going. I've got lots to do today. And so I'd think, maybe I'll just cut my prayer time short this morning because I got so much to do. I'm sure none of the rest of you have ever been tempted to do that, but I have. Now, have you ever heard of a guy named Jonathan Edwards? He was a great preacher back in the 1740s up in New England, up in Massachusetts. Great revivalist, very famous man. He preached the sermon about how you're just dangling over hell by a thin thread that could be cut any moment. I mean, he was a very renowned man of God. This is what he said. If he knew that the day before him was going to be a day of ministry, then he prayed an hour to start the day. If he knew that the day before him would be a day of lots of ministry, then he prayed 2 hours to start the day. And we see this in the transfiguration of Jesus. You know, Jesus was absolutely facing the toughest time of his ministry. He's got to go to the cross, and he needed some special soaking in the glory of God. He wasn't about to be able to give out in that situation, unless he had really done some taking in, and he gets into the presence of God, and God gives him a couple of visitors to help give him some moral support. That's pretty cool. God speaks to him out of a cloud, give him reassurance. I mean, the boy needed some reassurance, obviously. I would need some reassurance, big time, if I knew that I got to go and somehow get poured on me in the Spirit all the sin of all the world, and I've got to take that, I've got to die, I've got to go down to the place where departed souls are, to go to Sheol and spend 3 days there preaching to the folks there. And so, I mean, this is a big deal, not to mention the 36 hours of beatings and crown of thorn and hanging on the, you know, all this kind of stuff. So he's got the visitors, he's got words from the fathers and my son, whom I'm, you know. But you know, the other cool thing is that Jesus was just soaked in the presence of God so much, he began to glow. The power of God was so powerful in that spot. Him and the other guys are glowing. And I mean, that's soaking in the presence of God, to be built up. And I think that that's the kind of recharging, soaking prayer that we need so that we can bask in the presence of God, hear the reassurance from the Father, receive direction, receive guidance. I mean, would you ever try to take a trip without putting gas in your car? I mean, there are gas stations all along the way, but when we leave for a big trip, what do? Oh, got to make sure you're filled up before you leave, right? Okay. Well, that's the principle. Okay, so when I'm talking about giving out, what am I talking about? Well, sometimes we're talking about ministering to somebody else, you know, preaching, praying for the sick, casting out devils, crusades, that kind of thing. But, you know, a lot of times I think God gives us opportunities to minister to people in simple ways. A neighbor that's going through a difficult time, a friend that's gotten sick and they need somebody to pray with them. Grace is doing this prayer line twice a week. Go to our website and find out about it. Wednesday morning at 5 in the morning, Saturday morning at 8. A lot of folks get on this line. Everybody's on the line. They give prayer requests. They're praying for people. They're doing the labor of intercessory prayer. They're seeing lots of answers to prayers because they're getting together. But during that, it's a prayer line where they're laboring in prayer, which means they probably need to have spent some time before that praying so that some can then give out. So some are going to call in to receive. Others are going to call in to give out in that kind of prayer time. You agree in prayer with somebody else. That's a way of ministering, giving out. But I tell you, one of the things I think we miss in life is that we give out in ministry when we take care of our family. Remember the epistle reading this morning about how husbands, you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? That's a tough proposition for some of us guys, to be able to minister to our wives and families as a servant. You got to be built up before you can give out in that way. Wives, taking care of the family, being the nurturer in the family and having to take care of the husband and make a home. You have to do that, I think, with an attitude toward ministry. You have to do it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You are giving out in ministry. And as a matter of fact, I think if we'll do that, as if we're doing it to the Lord, we'll do it as ministry. We'll do it as, oh God, I'm doing this as a call from you to take care of my family. I think we'll find it a lot more fulfilling. But we'll also understand there's a rhythm to it. And, you know, before those kids get up and start the day, I'm probably going to have to be in a little prayer and make sure that I am filled up, because otherwise it makes it easy for mom to go or dad to get in this place of giving out, giving out, giving out, and never taking back in. Do it as spiritual ministry. You know, if you got to cook and clean to the Lord, it's going to be more fulfilling.
We call it bless others.
That is a great idea, to say instead of I'm doing chores and I'm cleaning the house, to say I'm blessing the house, I'm blessing my family, because that puts us in the proper attitude. That's exactly what we're doing. That's how our heart needs to look at it. Otherwise, it's a drudgery. So, a prayer of recharging. What might that look like? Turn to John 7. John chapter 7, verses 38. John 7, starting in verse 38. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He said, "He who believes in me, as Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." Now listen to the next verse. "But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit hadn't been given yet, because Jesus hadn't yet been glorified." So when we are praying to be refilled, recharged, we need to be praying that God will fill us and refill us with the Holy Spirit. One of my prayers for each one of you every day is that you will find a place where you will ask God to fill you, refill you with the Holy Spirit. And I also pray that everyone will come to the place where they'll be able to speak in tongues some every day. In 1 Corinthians 14:4, Paul said, "Those who speak in an unknown tongue edify themselves." What does edify mean? It means to build up or to recharge or to take in. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray in tongues, we are taking in from God. It's like we're sitting at the gas station and the pump is stuck in wherever our spiritual gas tank is, and God's just pumping stuff in. I pray for you every day you'll find a place for that kind of recharging prayer. I think that we need to take time to enter into real worship too. This is what Jesus was doing on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, he was entering into worship in such a powerful way that he starts glowing and the cloud forms around him and all this kind of stuff. You know, well, maybe we won't get quite that. But I think that's one of the good ways to recharge is in what some people call soaking prayer or soaking in the presence of God where we're worshiping. I'll tell you that this morning we had a great time of soaking in the presence of God during the music portion, the worship. And it's a time where you can just let go and worship God. You can just kind of forget about everything else that's around you and just get in the presence of God. Of course, you actually have to be here for that. It's hard to do it vicariously. So you might want to arrive a little bit earlier so you can take advantage of that. It's like going to a filling station. If it takes you 20 minutes to get gas, okay, well, it might take 20 minutes here to get filled up with the presence of God through worship. And it's a wonderful opportunity to do that. And one of the things I really enjoy doing during worship, and I can't do it so much now because the grandkids have gotten so big, but when they were smaller, I like to hold one of them while I was worshiping the Lord. And I suggest that you do this at home with your kids, especially the younger ones. Sit them down beside you, hold them as you're pacing, whatever you do when you pray. Let them know what it feels like to be in worship, to be in the presence of God. I mean, Aiden was going about six different directions at once this morning. Okay, he wasn't paying attention to anything. He comes up, he wants to dance with me some during this music. And even though he weighs about 60 pounds, I picked him up. And when I picked him up and started singing, instead of him kind of pushing away and looking around, he turns around and grabs hold of me and starts pulling himself close. And he puts his head on my shoulder and up against my neck. And he was feeling the presence of God. He was feeling that way. He just got real still. And so I was worshiping and singing. And I finally had to put him down because I just couldn't hold him anymore, you know. But he was enjoying this presence of God. Just get our kids used to this. Hey, you kid, you got to get filled up. Let me show you how it works. Just like Jesus said to his disciples, let me show you how to pray. Let's do that with our kids. Just spending time with our companion is a way of recharging. I say our companion, I'm talking about God, of course. Remember back in the olden days when you'd get a new boyfriend or girlfriend? God, you just wanted to be with them all the time. Especially when you're first married, you know, the first year or two before the fights really start. You just want to be together all the time. You're talking all the time and doing things together all the time. That's the way we need to get with God. When I'm wandering around the house, I'm going upstairs or downstairs, I'm usually praying. I've just gotten into the habit of practicing the presence of God. For sure, if I'm driving, I'm praying. When I'm out doing yard work, I'm praying. A lot of times I'm just praying in the Spirit, you know, just thanking the Lord, glorifying God. It's a time of recharging for me. I think we need to be persistent, of course. We need to keep knocking, keep asking, keep seeking, etc. But we've got to do whatever we do, find what works in our lives to bring that rhythm of taking in. And then we need to look for ways to give out. Don't be like the spiritual swamp, you know. We need to be saying in some of our time in prayer, God, how can I give out? What giftings of me, or what giftings have you given me that you now want me to use for the benefits of others? Maybe it's not preaching in a crusade, okay? So not all of us are going to do that. But we can do something, even if it's just working with fellow students, fellow workers, whatever it is. We've got a car that needs to be gassed up about once a week because we drive it a lot. And then we got another car that needs to be gassed up about once a month because we don't drive it nearly so much. So how often do we need to gas up in prayer, do you think? How often do you think we need to be refilled with the Spirit of God and recharged with God's power and presence? Yeah, see, now I know Grace. If I said, well, now, you know, I think we need to be praying every day, Grace says, I don't have to worry about that. I'm praying all the time. You know, she's kind of like I am. She's walking around, she's praying. She's doing laundry, she's praying. See, this, you know, we've kind of gotten into the habit of doing that. But I think for sure we need to find some time every day. I know that I either give out or it leaks out of me somehow every day enough that I need to be recharged at least daily. Find some time to get filled with God. You know, in Mark 16,
in Mark 16, turn to Mark 16, verse 17 through 19. I want to show you something kind of cool. Mark 16, starting in verse 17, says, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says,
"And these signs will accompany or follow those who have believed. These signs," notice, he says, and we'll tie this with a couple verses later, "these signs, these things, this is what's going to happen for those who have completed seminary, for those who've been ordained as ministers, for those we call preachers or evangelists, for missionaries." Is that what he says? No. He says, "And these signs will accompany," or "these things will happen with those who believe." Everybody who believes, all of us here, are expected to minister in dramatic supernatural ways. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They'll pick up serpents and drink deadly poison, and it won't hurt them, not meaning that we should be handling snakes in worship, but meaning that even poisonous snakes aren't going to hurt us. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. When our kids get sick, as believers, God expects us to lay hands on them, and they'll recover. Now, maybe God will also call you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover in crusades, or like with the prayer line, or who knows what kind of circumstances we may be called to minister. But the point is, we are all called to minister. Now watch. "So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and they went out and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." So when Jesus was telling them, "You're supposed to be my witnesses to these things that were going to happen," he didn't just leave them alone. He didn't just say, "Okay, well, you're my witnesses and good luck in getting folks to believe you." The Spirit of Jesus was going with them through the Holy Spirit so that the supernatural signs would accompany them everywhere they go, everywhere we minister. Jesus is expecting to fill us up with the Holy Spirit first, so that we'll then have the signs, the supernatural signs, to follow us so we can minister. And that's whether it's in a crusade, in a soccer field in Kenya, preaching to 5,000 people, or it's in a home group where you have a few neighbors or friends come over to your home, or whether it's ministering and serving your family, even the supernatural occurrences of God multiplying the eggs that you're cooking because you forgot to buy eggs at the grocery store the day before, and here this morning, he multiplies it so it's enough for your family. Whatever it is, God expects us to minister, but we can't do that unless we've been filled up first, unless we've taken in first, unless we've spent that time in prayer and that time with the Lord where he can fill us up and edify us so that we can minister and do what he wants us to. If you haven't spent time in prayer, you're going to be dry and empty. And God wants us to be full and moist. He wants us to be filled up. One of the things that I expect of y'all is to be looking for God's giftings that he has given you, looking for what has God called me to do, how has God called me to be of service. And then I expect you to direct that, among other things, toward the Sunday morning service. Unfortunately, there are some folks in some churches where it's kind of like the only place ministry can happen, the only place miracles can happen, the only place that evangelism can happen is in the church service on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever it is. And don't be like that. We're not like that. You know, we're ministering to people and talking about the Lord all the time, everywhere we go, in all different kinds of places. But I want you to make sure that when you're thinking about Sunday morning church, that you're going to be like John the Revelator. Remember how he starts off the book of the Revelation? It says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day." Well, you need to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You need to be able to arrive here for service on the Lord's Day in the Spirit, already pumped up, already charged up, already ready to go.
Come here with a word from the Lord, with a prophecy. Come with your heart ready to pray for the sick. We gather around to pray over each other and to pray over prayer requests and needs. We've seen lots of miracles, but we don't see nearly as many as we would like to see. Come prepared for that. Make sure that you are prayed up, as they used to say back in the old Pentecostal days, that you're charged up, and that you're ready to give out in ministry, to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, to pray for others, and to let God move through you, let the gift of miracles move through you, or gift of healing, or gift of word of knowledge, or word of wisdom, or whatever it happens to be. Let the Lord use you. Be ready for that. Be already charged up, ready to go, ready to give out in that way. I pray for you that occasionally your sleep will be disturbed. Your sleep has been disturbed. Okay, well, maybe that's God calling you to prayer. I'm asking that God will disturb us and move us into a place where we'll be willing to set aside some of the things that seem so important and so urgent to us, and we'll set those aside so we can spend time in prayer. We'll get built up. But then after we get built up, it's time to get out and get to work and get to ministry, whether it's ministering to our children, our family, or ministering to our neighbor, our loved ones, ministering to a friend on Facebook. Use every opportunity you got, you know. I guess the other side to that is just remember this concept of you got to take in before you can give out. And sometimes it seems like, especially when we travel and minister, go to other countries and things like that, go to other churches and minister, it just seems like that the needs are so great. We just can't pray enough on our own. And that's why we need intercessory prayer partners. We need folks like you that God will lay it on your heart to lift us up, lay it on your heart to take in for us. And so in prayer, you're both taking in for us and you're giving out in this labor of prayer that you're doing, this labor of intercessory prayer, so that the Holy Spirit moves through you and it consequently then moves through us, because you're praying for us that we'll be anointed, that miracles will happen, that the word of God will go forth, that people's lives will be changed, that the ministry will happen, the service, the servanthood kinds of things that God's calling us to do, that we'll do those things with great power and great excellence, but we'll be able to do that because you're standing behind us, both taking in on our behalf and then also giving out in the labor of prayer. Well, anyway, let me encourage you. Find your rhythm. Make sure that you're taking in, but make sure also that you're giving out, that you're ministering, that you're serving others around you. But when you do that, make sure you're doing it from a full gas tank, not an empty one.